Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
We're going to have to retire that music after next week.
Okay.
Mars the Warrior.
We should
be done with Mars the Warrior. Of course, we could actually have, I think it's Jupiter's the Clown. Here in California, we'll have Jupiter the Clown.
Yes, we will, otherwise known as Governor Moonbeam.
Moon the beam. Hey, good evening, welcome. And it's been a really strange week here in my household. For those of you know, Victoria's been in the hospital since last week.
Oh boy.
Things are not great. Things are not terrible. Things are. She's in the hospital, which tends to pretty much define what good and bad is in the world is.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Nothing much has changed from them. We did get a diagnosis on her foot. It's all basically good news there, except for when they did surgery on Friday to clean things up and make it all look nice. They got almost no blood out of it.
Oh boy.
That's almost no good.
Yeah.
It looks like it's doing okay, but you know when they start carving and cutting, they like to see blood, and when they don't see blood, they have bad feelings about things.
Yeah.
They're going to have a look tomorrow with a dye and a CT and an angioplasty and find out how the flow of the blood is. But we've already fired one surgeon, so we'll see.
Okay, fine. You betcha.
Well, he gave us a choice. Amputated or he was quitting.
He what?
He said, amputate or I quit.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I fired him.
Yeah, well, we'll see you later then. Thanks, Doc.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Hasta la vista, dude. Anyway, I call him a coward.
Yeah, well. God.
Anyways, so me and sleep have become long lost ships passing in the night.
Ah, okay. Not getting a lot of that, huh?
It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have been able to spend a little bit of time, kind of hard to miss it, with some election that's going on next week.
Is there one coming up? I didn't know that.
In between commercials for political candidates, they have political candidates on the radio talking about their contest.
Just
call the news, the election news, all
there
the news and thing but the news.
Gee, and it's going to get better, right?
Yeah. I do want to say that it appears that with all the electioneering that's been going on, that we will not have a negative GDP, seeing as how advertisement has spent, something like $30 billion in political ads this quarter.
I'm sure.
It's obviously going to have an impact.
Where
is most of that money coming from? It's coming from a lot of places is where the money's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that lottery playing is down right now, so maybe that's where
it's coming from. They found something else to bet on.
Yeah. And depending on the race and where you are, it's just as losing a proposition.
Exactly.
So my general overall feeling is that everything is tightened up as we suggested it would, and as is normally the case. Not much, you know, there are some races that are going to be runaways. It appears that Jerry Brown's race for Democratic, you know, Jerry Brown's race for governor here in California is running away from Meg Whitman.
Yeah. Yep.
Who cannot seem to avoid shooting herself in the foot.
Apparently.
He's the hand, you know.
Yeah.
I think if we give her enough time, she's going to shoot herself in the head this week.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Brown's lies commercial saying, you know, my opponent lies.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't they all?
I'm assuming that everywhere else in the country's political ads are running pretty much along the same thing.
I would
my
assume.
My client lies and I don't.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep.
I'm still pretty confident that it's going to be a big win for the GOP. I said this in 06. I said it in 08. You cannot steal a landslide.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
People get out and vote. There's lots of hanky-panky going on. It's been going on for a long time. None of it surprises me. Some of it tends to be pretty blatant, and I'm assuming that nothing's going to happen. So all that blatantness, as long as Eric Holder's in his position.
Yeah.
So I don't expect any of that. But I did want to spend a significant portion of today talking about what races we want to pay attention to. And I have a list.
Ooh.
Did you make a list?
I didn't make a list, but I have them in my head.
Oh. Okay. We have governor races, Senate races, and House races.
Yes, we do.
I have four governor races that I think won't all go GOP, but they should be pretty telling as the day goes on. Florida, Ohio, Colorado, and California.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think are the four that I think will give us a pretty good idea how things are happening in the states. We're obviously not going to be paying much attention to state Senate, state House races.
Yeah, not as much. Yeah.
There's a lot of those local races that are going to be rather important as far as the states are concerned. But from our perspective here, it's, you know, those are going to be a little bit too local to be, you know, a big deal for us. But I think looking at the governor's races and how those shake out should give us an idea how local stuff tends to be going. Not always, but how the governor goes, so goes the state. At least in direction. Senates and houses in states have a tendency not to change hands very often. Governorships more often than that. So I think those are going to be pretty much the interesting ones. The only one I'm not really familiar with is the Colorado race.
Oh, Tancredo?
And that one appears to be pretty much a dead heat. Rubio is should win pretty handily in Florida.
Yeah, I think so.
Kasich's going to win pretty handily in Ohio, from all appearances. And Brown is going to win pretty handily here in California, if you can believe the polls. The only one I'm not real familiar with is Colorado, and I'll spend some time working on that, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Yep.
See where that one's going.
Yep.
Obviously, for most people, the Senate races are the ones that's going to be the big deal. If the GOP can take the Senate, the Obama administration is pretty much dead in the water. As of the election, he could be dead in the water. We may not have to wait for January, depending on two races.
Yeah.
Everything else plays out.
Well, actually, three
if
races.
If Christine O'Donnell wins and, what's his name, Kirk in Illinois wins.
Yep.
They take their seats immediately.
Yes, they do.
And that pretty much sinks any hope of Obama getting anything through Congress during a lame duck session.
Yep.
Which is, of course, why people were putting Christine O'Donnell in such a high position, that race in such a high position.
Yeah.
But I have seven on my list, not a full 10. I have seven.
On the Senate side.
On the Senate side.
Yeah, okay.
We have Delaware. I think if O'Donnell gets really close in Delaware, I think it's going to be really telling.
Yes, absolutely.
If it's not close at all, then I think what we'll see is maybe a 60 seat shift. But if she gets really close, or even, you know, with luck would have it, if she were to win, then we might be getting pretty close to that 90 or 100 seat shift.
Oh, absolutely.
In the House.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
C-Sec and Toomey race.
Toomey, C-Sec, yeah.
Yep. Wisconsin. Feingold Johnson. Feingold looks to be pretty seriously on the losing side there.
Yes, he does.
I haven't paid a whole lot of attention recently to the Pennsylvania ones, but I think that one's going to be a pretty clean and easy pickup.
That'd be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Illinois. Barack Obama's seat's going to go bye-bye.
Yes, it is. God, that has to be galling.
The only thing I find interesting is that it's not a runaway.
No, it isn't.
And given the fact that, you know, we've got someone that's basically a crime syndicate, money launderer, and all but proven bank embezzler
mm-hmm.
running on the Democratic side, you actually kind of hope that it would be a runaway. But in what does appear to be a rather interesting way, the GOP has thrown some pretty interesting people into the mix.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The next one, you know, I probably should add Missouri to this list.
Okay.
Well, I think Blunt's going to walk away with it.
Yeah, that's Blunt and Carnahan there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So, maybe I'll put that one down. I want to put that one down. Missouri down on that one. Nevada, obviously.
Yep.
Although the reports there's some hanky panky going on there. Big deal. Surprise,
yep.
Surprise.
Yeah.
I actually think Harry Reid's going to lose big in Nevada.
Yep.
I think this is one of those cases where you can't steal a landslide. Then here in California. I would suggest to you that, unfortunately, I think Babs is going to hang on to her seat.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I think she's going to hang on to her seat. By the hair on her chinny chin chin.
Okay.
You know, I just... You know, it's very sexist. It's very sexist. But, you know, in the Battle of the Hags, I think the one that the incumbent wins.
very good.
I hate to say that about Carly Fiorina, but, yeah. You know, she just strikes me there. And, you know, what's rather interesting is, I don't know about you, but I've not seen a whole lot of ads by her. I've seen ads by her. She hasn't really countered any of the ads that Boxer has ran based on Carly's HP performances. I haven't seen anything that's there. She has her ads. I think they're very good, and I think they're good. You know, they hit points well, but I think there's some stuff going on the internet that have done really well. Did you get to see that little video of the MAM issue?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I saw that. Zucker put that out. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah, and back actually, I first saw it on Fox.
Huh?
I first saw it on Fox.
Oh, cool.
Neil Cavuto ran it.
Cool beans.
In its entirety. It was good. I liked it.
That was only less than two and a half minutes, but
yeah,
it feels like it runs a whole lot longer.
Yes, it does.
And Boxer should believe that it feels like it's running a whole lot longer.
Yeah, I'll bet she does.
The only other Senate race that I have is the Alaska race, which I think is going to be just a walkaway landslide, despite the polls showing it actually being a pretty tight race, simply because it's really easy to say you're going to vote for somebody, and it's really hard to write them in.
Yes, it is. I mean, that really is an uphill fight for Lisa Murkowski.
So she can get all kinds of encouragement from the fact that the polls are there, but when push comes to shove and people actually have to write her name down on the ballot,
yep,
and people just go, ah, and just click off somebody else.
Yep, exactly.
I think that's going to be a runaway. So those are the Senate races that I'm looking at. So that's 8 of the 17 or 18 races that are, well, there's 33 Senate races. But those are the big ones that I think that are in play that are going to tell us some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have one House race.
Really?
I only have one House race. I think there's a lot of really interesting House races out there. I mean, obviously we got 435 to pick from, and there's probably a good 150 of them worth spending some serious time paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's only one, believe it or not, race that I have any interest in whatsoever, and that's the Barney Frank race in Massachusetts.
Oh yeah, Sean Bilott. Yep.
I'm interested in seeing Frank go. And Frank goes, so goes the House.
Yep. I think that's right. And
go ahead. You were going to say?
Well, I was going to say I agree with you. I would add one to the Senate race, and that's the Rossi Murray race up in Washington. And that one appears to be very close. And I think where I differ from you more is the House races. Because I think that if we start seeing on the East Coast and the Midwest, if we start seeing the kind of wave election that some folks are predicting, I think that's going to impact California. And if it does, in fact, work that way, I think Barbara's history. I think that Carly Fiorina pulls it out. I don't have a good feel as far as Meg Whitman. I think she's run a terrible race. She has not been on Twitter as much as I have prodded her, well, her campaign staff, saying, you know, she's got to be there. She showed up in Central California today. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she showed up there. Apparently there was some advance notice put only to the campaign and the local Republican office. And I'm saying, my God, why in the world would you hide yourself like that? Why don't you put it out where you're going to be so people can show up? Say, yeah, we support you. Yeah, go, do it. Nope. She has got to be running one of the most secretive races that I have seen in a long time. So let's talk about the House races for a while, because I agree with you on the Senate races. I think that if we get a wave, that can impact California and Washington. It could impact Oregon in terms of House races. Apparently, the governorship of Oregon is a really tight race right now. So there's a possibility of a Republican pickup there. But if you start out on the West Coast, you got Sean Bilott and Barney Frank. I am just hoping that Sean can pull it off. Ilario Pantano down in North Carolina is another one to keep an eye on. Apparently, that's pretty close. If you go into Florida, and dang, the name is escaping me right now, but the guy who's running against Grayson apparently has got a 7 or 8 point lead, at least in the polls. And then you start working your way across the country. So my thought is this. If we start seeing a wave out there with some of those key races, Sean Bilott, Ilario Pantano, the guy running against Grayson, if we start seeing that, I think that's going to impact Senate races the further out we move, because they're going to be talking about them. I know that Twitter's going to be talking about it. Facebook may. I don't know that the news channels are going to be putting that out until after the elections are closed. But remember, we're 3 hours behind them. So that can have a really big impact here. So I'm feeling pretty good in terms of the House. I think that we pick up 50. If we pick up more than that, I think we have a Katie bar the door. I think at that point, the Senate races come into play out here on the West Coast. And if that happens, then I think Barbara's gone.
That's probably not a bad read of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I disagree with it.
Yeah.
But then Carly will own her victory to the movement rather than any particular pleasure that the electorate has in her running.
Oh, yeah. No. I think that's right. But remember, she's got 6 years to get people used to her. So that's a plus.
4 or 6 years with Jerry Brown as governor.
But she's going to be on the national scene.
Brown is going. I really do believe Brown's going to win. I don't think there's any real sense in hell that women has a chance. I mean, she's pissing people off. Yes, with this idea, this stuff that she just disappears. And then what's her name? Having a rally with Bloomberg. What the hell was that?
Yeah, exactly. I have written her campaign off. As I said, she's running the most secretive campaign I've ever seen. Although I see her ads up here. I see Carly Fiorina's ads up here. I see Moonbeam's ads up here. I do not see Boxer's ads up here. So
I see Boxer's ads down here.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
And she just harps on the layoffs.
Is that
over
right?
And over again. People that were laid off from HP now in ads, saying, I lost my job of 10 years, I lost my job of 15 years, I lost my job of 20 years, because she, transferred jobs overseas.
Right.
And on the jobs issue, that kind of stuff is going to ring true.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Except for the fact, that of course, you know, and that this is my one of my arguments, that she could easily be arguing that, you know, the business environment in California makes having employees here so cost prohibitive,
yep,
you know, that there's just no viable way that those jobs could stay in California given the business environment here. Now that would resonate with Republicans and conservatives and some libertarians. Obviously, it wouldn't resonate with the Democrats at all. But at least it would be answering some of the issue. And she's not answering any of the issue at all. So,
well,
I just find it hard. I forgot about the Grayson race in Florida. And, you know, and there's one other, you know, governor's race that we haven't talked about, I think because both of us have considered it to be a slam dunk, but we should see it just on its historical note, and that's Nikki Haley in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, how could we forget that one? Oh, Lord. And, you know, really, if you think about it, this is a census year, which means that whoever controls the state house has a very big say in how all of the redistricting goes.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
people ought to be thinking about that as they cast their votes for governors in their various states. I don't know about other states. California is a state that I know. The governor has a veto ability on redistricting. Now, depending on how the propositions go here in California, if we get to retain our citizens' initiative on redistricting, that isn't going to make any difference. But if we don't, then Moonbeam is going to have a pretty big say in how things get redistricted, and if that's the case, then California doesn't fare very well.
I think I picked the perfect time to come to California.
Oh, I think you did too.
With
for
Brown
as
governor, my
goodness,
years.
Yeah. Yep. Oh well,
I'm just gonna have business coming out of my ass for.
Yeah, you are.
Long.
Yes, you are. Yep.
I picked up two more clients in the last week.
Cool.
One in California and one in Arizona.
Excellent.
The we'll see how those pan out.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's really good. Well, do you still have any of your people back there on the East Coast or anything?
Yeah, I mean, CJ asked me, she goes, how many clients do you have now? I said, well, if everybody that has given me business in the last year continues to give me business, then I have 13 clients right now.
Wow.
Which is a pretty nice base. But right now only actively giving me cases on any one month.
Mm. Okay.
But yes, I still have Maryland, Kentucky. I'm sorry, not Kentucky. Connecticut and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And my client in Connecticut said he may have a couple more clients for me out in that general area.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm still going to have people on the East Coast.
Okay.
And people here on the West Coast, not so much in the middle. I'd like to get some people in the middle, just to balance.
Well, you know, actually the middle isn't, I mean, yes, there are BKs, but and you would be a better judge of the numbers than I am, but those middle states are probably doing a little bit better than the rest of the folks
in
the whole.
I do great in Illinois or Michigan. Ohio.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I'm kind of looking in the Great Lakes area, you know, for some clients in that general area.
Mm-hmm.
Only because it's, you know, believe it or not, the time zone issue, you know, really has an impact.
Sure.
I roused myself from sleep at 6:30 in the morning and kind of stumbled to the computer to see what's going on.
Yeah, right.
I make one response to an email from somebody on the East Coast, you know, and the phone is ringing 4 minutes later.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you're here. Great. I can start talking to you. I'm like, hey, okay.
Yeah.
I need to really get some orange
more
juice
coffee
or something to wake up. I'm not really functioning well at this point.
Yeah.
Not hitting on all cylinders yet. Give me a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and somebody said, you sent me an email at 3:48 in the morning. What the hell are you doing up at 3:48 in the morning? I'm sitting like, I was 3:48 in the morning. Oh, yeah. Well, your time I was up at 3:48 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that means that it was 12:48, so it wasn't exactly, you know, bright and early either for me.
Yeah, I know.
You know, maybe we need to look at some more of the races. There's probably some stuff in Minnesota that might be interesting. Ohio. Well, Rand Paul in Texas, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah?
Right? We want to see what's going on with him.
Yeah. Big news on him today was one of his supporters apparently stomped on somebody.
Well, no, that's what they do in Kentucky. They stomp on people.
Apparently. Well, actually, that's a Senate race. That's a Senate race, though, isn't it?
The Rand Paul race? No, it's not a Senate race, is it? Is it? Am I getting confused here?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's possible. I am functioning on a grand total of 2 hours and 15 minutes worth of sleep.
Are you really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's a senatorial race.
Yeah, Victoria had a bad night and I got called back to the hospital twice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're right. Paul is a Senate race.
Yeah.
Move that up to Kentucky. Up to the Senate. No, not there.
Well, and
there.
He's ahead in the polls. I mean, you know. And a word about polls. I'm not knowing whether to trust them at this point until I see Rasmussen weigh in and maybe Gallup. If you talk about PPP, if you talk about what is that? Western Resources, somebody or another, out here on the West Coast. I'm not trusting those polls a whole lot, just for whatever that's worth. I'm, which means that I don't know that I'm trusting whether all of this is really getting tighter or not. I think the people that have got the leads, and I read something here, I don't know, maybe a month ago, that said if somebody had a lead a month out of 5 points or better, their odds were 90% or better of winning their election. If that's true, and I didn't check the math or anything else on it, but if that's true, there's a lot of races that are already foregone conclusions that nobody has called yet.
All right, let's talk about governors first.
Governors, yeah.
Hey.
Tancredo's an interesting one.
All right. They're actually saying, New York Times is saying that Colorado is going to stay Democrat, solidly Democrat.
Really?
I'll have to spend some time looking at that. So,
that would be Hickenlooper versus Tancredo. Okay.
This is what we've got.
Okay.
There are 10 solid Democratic seats and 16 solid Republican seats.
Okay.
And else we have of what's left in play. There's 24 states, according to them. Four are leaning towards Democrats, and that is California, Connecticut, Vermont, and Hawaii.
Okay.
Eight are leaning Republican, and that's Pennsylvania, Michigan, South Carolina, Alabama, Iowa, Texas, New Mexico, and Nevada. And then they're calling 12 to be a toss-up.
Wow.
Now let's look at these 12. I know Wisconsin, and that's going to go Republican.
Wow.
That's going to be pretty straightforward. Illinois, I think it's a toss-up because the Republicans have proven that they are every bit as corrupt as the Democrats.
Oh, at least, yes.
And the only viable candidate, in my opinion, that is running in Illinois at this point is none of the above.
Got it. And that's
otherwise
not a place on the ballot, right?
No.
Yeah.
So we've got, of the toss-ups, we've got Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maryland, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. Obviously, that's all pretty much Midwest and East. And then Oregon, which you suggested was something
yep.
to be paying attention to.
Yep, absolutely. Well,
so,
isn't that interesting? I'm liking my theory pretty good. I'm liking my theory that if we start seeing a wave, if we start seeing governorships change hands, go Republican out there on the West Coast, if we start seeing House races go Republican out there on the West Coast, I think that's going to build. And I don't know that I've got any better handle on it than anybody else. I'm just saying, boy, people like to go with winners. People hate to lose. So that's going to depress votes out here in the Midwest and the West for those people who are losing. And it's going to energize those people that are on the winning side. I'm liking our chances.
Let's see what they say in the Senate.
Okay.
They're calling 46 Senate seats as rock solid.
Well, there's only 33 up, so okay.
They're calling 35 seats for the Republicans as rock solid. And we have 10 are leaning Republican, 7 are toss-ups, and 2 are leaning Democrat. The two leaning Democrat are Connecticut and Delaware.
Only
really?
Huh?
With
huh.
Delaware leaning? With Chris in there? Or with Christie in there?
They may know things that we don't know.
Well, Delaware is certainly closer to New York than we are.
Yeah, it is.
Let's see. The toss-ups are Pennsylvania, which I don't think is a toss-up at all.
I don't think that's a toss-up either.
Nevada is not a toss-up. I think Sharon Angle runs away with that.
Yep.
Illinois.
Yeah, I think that is a toss-up.
West
I think
Virginia. What?
I think Kirk's going to win that one. West Virginia, I'm not so confident about for the D's.
I think people are not so happy with Obama at this point.
Yep, and I think that's what's driving that West Virginia race. I mean, Manchin came out saying, oh, yeah, I would have, after he had said that he would have voted for health care, has now come out in the last 2 days and said, oh, no, gosh, we're just seeing all kinds of bad stuff in there, and I would have voted against it. And it's like,
well, you might vote against now, but it's too late.
just a little bit.
They're calling Colorado, Nevada, California, and Washington as toss-ups. So I would suggest that at least three of those, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Illinois, I don't think are toss-ups. I think those are leaning Republican. Mm-hmm. And if we take those, that's 48-52.
Wow.
You know, so we've got to do some work in there.
Yep.
Yep.
I think that's right.
You know, Wisconsin, I think, is a done deal. Missouri's a done deal. Kentucky's a done deal. Florida's a done deal. Alaska's a done deal. Those are some of my ideas for our Senate. Let's look at the House races and what they say here. This is going to be a mess of a graphic here. Oh, God. Okay, so they calling it 174 solid Republican, 152 solid Democrat. That's a 22-seat edge to the Republicans.
Yeah.
Right off. They're calling 109 seats in play.
Oh, my God.
39 leaning to the Democrats, 28 to the Republicans. Obviously, that's not enough to make up the 22 seats in there if they both run both ways.
Right.
Actually cut it to 11. And that leaves us with 42 seats as a toss-up. Now, let's look at some of these toss-ups. Obviously, it's going to be hard to say because they're, you know, congressional seats.
Who's putting this out? What is it that you're looking at, Tracy?
New York Times.
Ah, okay.
Some pretty good graphics up. And
okay.
I don't necessarily agree with what they think is solid and win points
and
stuff like
that. I know. I was just looking for which way the bias went.
You know, but, you know, I can put a key over this and, you know, pretty much look at anything that you want to look at here. So some of the odd things that are going on is how many states that have solid blues with either toss-ups or solid reds going on. Hey, Ollie. Come here. Yes, that's a dog barking, people.
Yes, it is.
Full-throated dog. We have Arizona, which looks like, which is kind of interesting. They've got Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. The congressional seats that are running along the Mexican border are being rated as toss-ups.
Really?
Currently held by Democrats.
Whoa.
So that would be rather interesting, you know, a pretty significant difference. Northern New Mexico is solidly Democratic, so the fact that it's a toss-up at this point is kind of rather interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is exactly the opposite. Lots of Republican in there, although there's a big, you know, it could be solidly Republican. So we might see New Mexico go solid Democrat, but Arizona go solid Republican.
What did I read lately, just in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, about New Mexico? And it seemed to me I read that the Republican running for governor of that state was ahead in the polls.
Well, let's take a look. I'll pull that up on a separate box here. House up. New Mexico is leaning Republican, and your friend and mine is the incumbent, Bill Richardson.
Oh, yes. I remember Bill. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's an email from Barbara Boxer. How about that? Goodbye.
The Republican race, the governor's races, they're showing New Mexico and Texas running and Arizona all being leaning Republican or solidly Republican.
Yep.
Okay. I hate to think that the House races would actually go that way.
You'd hate to think that what?
That the House races would go against that.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. Well, I mean, you know, in isolated cases, sure. But I'm in the majority of cases, I'm not sure that they would. I mean, if and I don't know what their ballots look like, but here in California, it's pretty easy to vote a fairly straight ticket. It's only when you start trying to split your ticket that things get a little hinky.
They've got a section in Idaho leaning Democrat when everything for 500 miles around it is solidly Republican.
Probably a college town?
Maybe Coeur d'Alene is up in that area. That's a big district, though. It runs the entire length of the state.
Does it really?
The incumbent is there's only two districts there, and the incumbent in that other district is Democrat. The other district is solidly Republican. Weirdness there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Vermont is running as a toss-up. Most of New York is a toss-up. Big chunks of Pennsylvania is a toss-up.
Wow.
Parts of Georgia and Alabama are toss-ups.
And this is if
Colorado is up in the mountains.
Yeah. You know, if this is the New York Times, there may be some bias showing up there.
Yeah, I don't know that I would follow a whole lot of the leaning districts, and I would probably rate toss-ups. Obviously, you and I are much more comfortable making comments about the Senate races, simply because they're pretty high profile.
There's only 33 of them. I mean, you know, you can kind of keep track of that.
Right. You know, it's a lot easier to keep track of, you know, 20 Senate seats than, you know, 200 House seats.
Exactly.
Very much, much more local issues. You know,
well, and House seats at this point in time, I think, well, yes, there's a national overlay to that. House seats, I think, are much more affected by what are the local conditions, and can a challenger, if it's a Democrat-held district, can a challenger effectively tie that Democrat to Barack Obama and his policies. I think if they're effective in doing that, they can be at the least competitive, and of course at the best you win the race.
Yeah, they've got the Dakotas as toss-ups. Minnesota tends to be pretty democratic.
Yeah.
And they're pretty much keeping, except for the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, which is tends to be Republican. You know, the Pacific, I'm sorry, the Northeast, you know, they've got a bunch of toss-ups there in New York and Pennsylvania, but, you know, those are areas that very traditionally go Democratic. So
right. Yep.
Those would be pretty significant changes in there. You know, I don't see Arizona and New Mexico. Well, New Mexico has been really weird.
Yeah, it has. It was,
you know,
weird when
I was
there.
I don't see Arizona going anything but, you know, Republican. I don't see anybody in, you know, Texas going anywhere but Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some districts in Missouri and Arkansas that are, you know, solidly red states with, you know, blue toss-ups, you know, means leaning Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, unless there's really shitty candidates in there, I can't imagine seeing that way.
Well, yeah, but at that point, you have to start looking at okay, how did the district boundaries get drawn? And if they got drawn around inner cities and colleges, yeah, they could stay blue. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Well, the Missouri one does include Kansas City portion, you know, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So that might have some impact in there. You know, South Carolina, you know, they've got some blue and some toss-up there. You know, I think, you know, the toss-up is likely to go Republican. You know, the state that's there are two states that are really, really weird.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, which has a pretty significant, you know, Democrat and Republican base, depending on where it is, is half the state is leaning Democrat, half the state is leaning Republican, and in between the two of them is a flat-out toss-up.
Wow. Wow.
And then Pennsylvania has similar things. I mean, pretty much a red-leaning state. And they've got a lot of small districts that are leading Democrat and toss up.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem, you're right. Seeing the polls at this point is not very helpful. I think momentum is definitely going to come into play on the western side.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the pollsters are getting a really good read on what's going on out there.
You know, it's hard to quantify anger, and it's hard to quantify depth of commitment. I mean, you can have people that tell you, oh yeah, I'll vote, sure, but that doesn't tell you how committed they are to voting. And you can have people tell you, yeah, I'm pretty upset about what's going on, but that doesn't tell you how deep their anger goes. And I think all the pollsters, whether it's Rasmussen, Gallup, or anybody else, I think they're missing that. And, of course, you know, the only way we're going to really know that is on Election Day to see what happened. But I'm thinking that the momentum, that the anger, anger at the policies, not any people, but at the policies, and the depth of commitment is simply not being tabulated. There isn't any way to tabulate it, and I think that's going to make a difference in some of these races that are saying, yeah, it leans Democrat or whatever. And, in fact, it could make a difference in ones that are supposedly solid Democrat. I mean, who in the world would have thought that Feingold would lose? But it sure appears that he's going to.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some of these more closely. That Wisconsin district that was rated as a toss-up is Dave Obey's district. And when I left, he was getting hammered. He was absolutely getting hammered.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm looking at some of these other things. You know, Minnesota, their rating is a toss-up.
Yeah.
But I got the idea that Tim Pawlenty was actually pretty popular there.
So far as I know, he is.
So the idea that that would be a toss-up doesn't seem to ring solid to me there.
No, it doesn't.
So some of the stuff is, you're right, it's the New York Times. We have to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Yep.
So, but I like the website as far as things are concerned. Kind of, pull things up pretty easily and see what's going on with any one particular district.
Are they going to have live election coverage on that website?
It looks like they're going to.
Huh, that might be a good one to follow.
Yeah, I'm probably going to do so. We'll see how it looks next week.
Yep.
We got a couple minutes left. Only a couple minutes left.
Okay.
You want to make any predictions? You want to call it?
My call is 50 House seats, 8 Senate seats. Governor's races, I don't know. I mean, I think you've got to be in that state to really know what's going on there. If I had to guess on select governor states, I'd say Moonbeam in California, Tancredo in Colorado. I think that's about as far as I'm going. Florida. I'll call Florida for the Republican, too.
I'm going to put it at, I think we're actually going to see a pretty big momentum push here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call it 71 seats for the House.
Oh my gosh.
I think we're going to see, a pretty big sweep of things that are going to go on. I think people are just really royally pissed with the state of things.
I
think they're going to want to, people are going to be able to sit there and say, Obama has been in office for 2 years.
Mm.
He promised hope and change, and yes, lots of things have happened in 2 years, and none of it's been good.
Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true. Yep.
So I think there's going to be a certain amount of punishment factor going on there, and they're going to take it out on, the individual House people.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate, I'm torn by that. I think your 8 is a really safe number.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with 8 going over. I think that's probably a pretty easy one to pull.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that we're going to see a kind of a shift back to what I preferred to believe was an appropriate way of running government back in the 80s, which was that if you had a Republican president, then you wanted a Democratic Congress.
Congress. Mm.
And if you got a Democratic president, you're going to want a Republican Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole split, divided government and status quo and gridlock.
And so I'm going to call it. I'm going to decide that the best place in the world for Mr. Biden for the next 2 years is sitting in the Senate, and I'm going to call it 10.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Chance of taking the Senate. O'Donnell blew it, and I think they're going to be pissed for a whole lot of whiles. But having Joe Biden as sitting in the Senate every day, frankly, could be really interesting theater.
It could. Although, we only need 9 for that to happen, because we've got 41 now. So we only need 9 to make Joe sit there every day.
No. Then it's 9.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd like that. Okay.
You know. And
we're out of time.
We're out of time.
We're real close to being out of time.
Out of time, right now.
I got a minute left. So Arkansas Traveler and Hallie Five and Louise Ama and Mama Gurka, if you were listening in, thank you much. Appreciate it. And we'll catch you next week, and we're going to keep our fingers crossed for the wave, starting out on the East Coast and coming all the way west.
Yeah, the advantage is we're going to get to see some of those waves while we're on the show.
Yeah,
all right,
we are.
Phil, you have a good week.
You too.
I have a place to go for the evening.
Okay.
We will talk.
Yes. And
on election day.
Yes, we will.
All right, we'll talk soon.
We done?
Yep, good night, everyone.
All righty. Have a good one, Tracy. I will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.